As we say each Sabbath day, this is the building that God has provided for us to come and worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed.
Bom dia. É uma bênção para ficar aqui hoje com vocês. Eu estou... I'm sorry, I'm making it hard on the translator. She'll tell you in just a minute. É uma bênção para ficar aqui hoje com vocês. And what I said was, good morning. It's good to be here with you today. I'm glad that I can be here, and I'm happy to be here. And that was a typical greeting that I would give to the churches in Mozambique when I would go speak to them. Portuguese is the official language. Portuguese is the official language of Mozambique. And then there were many African dialects. Let me show you, since this is Ladies' Day, I have to make a fashion statement for you, like we would be making if we were in Mozambique, if we were the traditional ladies. And how I'm dressed is what I wore most of the time when I went out, with the t-shirt and these are called capelanas. That's just the Portuguese word for skirt. And so this is what I would wear. But what you would do to make the fashion statement, and the young girls really need to see this too, because I know they want to make it. But what you do, you have one hanging out from the other, one capelana or one skirt hanging out from the other. Colors don't matter. You can wear stripes and solids together, plaids and polka dots, whatever colors. So we would have these two on, and then we would also have another one on. And this would be wrapped around us, and we would have a baby on our back. Then we would have one on our head, and then we would maybe have one other one wrapped around our waist or something. But that way you're always prepared. If you are out somewhere and you get a little chilly, you just take off one of these, and you're still dressed, and then you can just warm yourself up. So you have this. And then if you're with a little child, they get something on their face, you just take one, you wipe off their face, and then you put this back on your body. So you're always prepared. And there's other uses for the capelanas. I'm one of the Southern Baptist International Mission Board missionaries. I'm one of the missionaries that you support each Christmas when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Without the support you give, I couldn't be doing what I'm doing, so I want to say thank you for that. I was in Mozambique, Africa for 3 years as an apprentice missionary. I'm here in the States for 6 months. I arrived in the States at the end of December, and I'll be here until July. And in July, instead of returning to Mozambique, which was the original plan, God has worked it out for me to return to Guatemala. And that was a place that I was a journeyman in. In 1997, and I just said, I feel like it's God giving me the opportunity to go back to a place that I really loved. And it's not that I didn't like Mozambique. I liked Mozambique because I was there and I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Mozambique is a difficult place to live. Africa is a very hot country. In Mozambique, I said we had two seasons, hot and hotter. They called them dry and rainy, but to me, it was just hot and hotter. When I left in December, it was the time we would take showers 3 times a day because it was so hot. It would easily be 120 degrees in the shade. And I have thoroughly enjoyed being here during the colder months of the year. I've been able to enjoy that and another favorite thing of mine, NCAA basketball. So I've gotten my share of that while I've been here. But... the verse that we read, 1 Thessalonians, he who called you is faithful, he will do it. And this verse, Psalm 139:9, those are two verses that have meant a lot to me. Because when I look back and see how God, the process God has taken me through, and Barbara was right, it wasn't just my saying, okay, God, I'll go to missions. It's been a continuous process, and it hasn't been easy. But when I look back, I can see how faithful he was and how he did it. And I'm sure many of you here could share stories about about how God has been faithful to you as well. Just to tell you about Mozambique is located on the southern coast of Africa. I didn't know where it was before I was looking at jobs. It's a large country. To get from where I lived in Mozambique in the northern part to the southern part of Mozambique was either a three-day drive by vehicle or a plane flight. And let me quickly tell you something about the planes in Mozambique. To get from here to Mozambique, you fly either Delta Airlines or South African Airlines, is a well-known carrier, and you fly into Johannesburg, South Africa. It's an 18-hour flight to get from here to there. You spend the night in South Africa, and then the next day, you fly to Mozambique. Once you fly to Mozambique, then you take Mozambican Airlines. And that in itself can be an adventure. To get from to get from north to south in Mozambique was a plane flight. And they called it a direct flight because we arrived from point A to point B in the same day. And they called it direct, so that meant we only had two stops. Well, there was one day we were flying, and the pilot decided he didn't want to make one of the stops we were to make. That didn't bother me, but for the people that were on the plane that were planning to get off on that stop, and the people that were at that stop waiting to get on the plane, that caused confusion for them. So that was something that you're dealing with when you switch to the Mozambican Airlines. I lived in a city of 500,000 people, the second largest city in Mozambique. And this is the vehicle that I had that you helped provide through the Lottie Moon offering. And the roads, I had to have a four-wheel drive vehicle to travel the roads, and this was after we had just made a bathroom stop along the way. And the roads in Mozambique, they could be challenging at times. These are some of the roads, and you can see on the left-hand side how the one changed from pavement to dirt. And many roads didn't even look like roads. There were times that the person in the car with me, he would have to get out of the car and lead me through the jungle areas to make sure I didn't hit any big stumps or trees or anything like that. And then again, this was during, the rains had just started, and sometimes the roads became impassable, where you would just have to park and walk the rest of the way, or you would just have to turn around and then come back after the rains had stopped. These are some of the people that helped me with day-to-day living. It's the neatest thing to look back and see how when I went to Mozambique, I didn't have any family or friends. I didn't have anybody. But at the end of the 3 years, these people had become family to me, and when I left in December, leaving them was as hard as when I left here to go to Mozambique. So they had become family to me, and I think it was harder because I knew, at that time I knew I would not be returning to Africa, and I knew that I would probably not see these people again. But God did bring good people into my life to help take care of me while I was there and for me to have family. And this is one of the men that I traveled out with the most. If he would have had his way, we would have gone somewhere every day of the week. We would have been gone from sunup until sundown. But Pastor Manuel, and we would travel out together, and we would coordinate our schedules where when I would be going out to do a literacy training, then he would also go out, and we would either do baptisms or we would show the Jesus film, depending what area we were going to and what the needs were. Okay, so I lived in the city, and I had a house, and I had a normal house like you would have here, with a bathroom, with running water, with plumbing, and electricity. But when I traveled out to the bush, is what we called it, when you're going out to the villages, which are out in the middle of nowhere, then the rule is, if you don't take it with you, then you don't have it. And that means everything from filtered water to a tent to sleeping bag, anything like that. If you didn't take it with you, then you don't have it. There aren't any convenience stores to stop at along the way to buy anything. And then once I left my house, that was the end of the bathroom, and then you just stopped on the side of the road or wherever you were on the way. And the kids will like hearing this. This is when I got out to these areas, and this is when we really had the strange food. And the strangest food that I saw that thankfully I never had to eat was called rat on a stick. Yeah. And it would be like we would have shish kebab here in the States, where you would have five rats on a stick. And they would have just be the whole rat, and they would have fur and everything. And there was one time a pastor got in the car with me, and he was so happy because he was taking that home to his children, and his children would be so excited with it. Somebody told me that I should have just kicked him out of the car then or let him have the car. But that was the strangest thing. And then sometimes it was better not to know what you were eating. You just didn't ask a lot of questions. And then we would go into a church service, and there would be chickens and goats running around when we went in. And then when we came out of the service a couple hours later, those same chicken and goats would be on our plates to eat. So that was always different. But and any time I went out on these trips, I just took what the people had for me, or I just ate the food that they had. And anytime I went out to an area, they always ran up to the car to see what the white girl was doing. They wanted to see what I had brought and what I was going to get out of my truck. And the parents would tell children, they would say, if you don't behave, you better look out or this white person is going to eat you. I don't know how that got started, but that was just something they started saying. So when I would get there, the children would be afraid because they would see white skin. And that's something, I mean, they don't see. And then I had glasses, so that's two things. And then they're thinking, okay, this girl's going to eat me. But then finally the children would come around. I would get my camera out. I would usually try and take a soccer ball with me so we could play soccer. And they would come around, and then we could do things together. Every time after a church service, then anytime I was out in the village, the people loved having their picture taken. Now, they wouldn't smile for pictures. They needed the song that from the children's sermon, but they loved having their picture taken. They would, yeah, thank you. He held up his smile. They loved having their picture taken. They would say, let me get my wife, let me get my child, let's get the ladies of the church, let's get the deacons of the church. And they would bring them all together, and it finally became like church directory time. That's what I felt like I was doing afterwards. And how many people can we fit on a bicycle? They think we're crazy because we only have one person on a bicycle here in America. For them, they can fit at least two people, usually three or four. And they can also carry a lot on their bicycles. And for them, walking and riding a bicycle are their main forms of transportation. That, and they always loved to get rides with me if I was going out to an area. Everybody would find out about the trip. It's amazing. They don't have TVs like we do here that communicate the news or things like that, but the people hear the news just from word of mouth. Something that was interesting to me is the use of cell phones. I mean, Mozambique is a poverty-stricken country where where 50% of the population can't read or write, and they're very poor, but almost everybody there has a cell phone. Yeah, and they had a really good cell phone plan. And you would go to church. The church I went to in the city, we had electricity. And the people would bring their cell phones, and they would take turns charging up their cell phone because we had electricity. They didn't have it at their house, so they would bring it to where there was electricity. And with the heat, one thing I learned was the importance of standing in the shade. We had, on the left-hand side picture, we had a break from one of our teachings. And the people, the only shade they could stand in was under the overhang of the church. So that's where they were standing. Now, if we wanted to be typical church today, we would have the men on one side, the women on the other side, and we would be sitting more or less like this, where the men are sitting like baseball catchers and the ladies are sitting on mats, and the ladies would have the children as well, and we'd just be sitting with our legs straight out. And that's how they would have church. And we had church either inside or outside. It was better off, actually, if you were outside under the trees because it wasn't as hot. And every day, the ladies, one of our main jobs, not mine, but the if we were Mozambican ladies, one of our main jobs would be to go to walk to get water, to collect water for the day. And sometimes this would be 1 mile or 2 miles. You would have to walk and carry the water back on your heads. And for them, carrying water on their head is just a normal thing. They carry everything on their head. If you see them carrying something in their hand, it looks strange. And there are times that you would see ladies carrying sacks about this big, about this tall, and had charcoal in it. And they would be so heavy that it would take 2 men to lift the bag up there, but then the ladies would just walk off like it was no big deal and carry it. So it was amazing. And one of their main foods is called shima. And this is food that's like sticky mashed potatoes, and it's made from a root. And you grind up the root, and then you cook it in the water over the open fire and cook it until it becomes a thick paste. So if we had a covered dish meal here, what we would do, everybody would bring their live chicken and goat and the root to make the shima. So you just bring everything fresh, and you just then the ladies make it all while we're here. And what my actual job was I was the literacy coordinator for Northern Mozambique. That means I was in charge of the literacy programs for the Baptist churches in that area. I taught people who wanted to teach the actual classes. Then I trained them, those people that wanted to teach, I trained them in how to use the materials, and then they took the materials back to their area and they could teach the classes. And they could either teach in Portuguese or in their African language of Makua. So I would leave my house when I had a training. I would leave my house early one morning. We'd get to the place about mid-morning and teach until early evening, and then teach again the next morning and leave the next afternoon. So it was usually 2 days of teaching. And anytime I went out, I took a national with me. Anytime I went outside of town, because they don't have road signs or anything there, they just know how to get places, and it's amazing how they can get around. This is at one of the teachings that I had, and I said what I'm wearing is what I would typically wear there, and it's what a lot of the ladies wear, except my outfit is too nice and clean and it doesn't have enough holes in it. And then the fourth guy over from the left, I don't know if you can really tell or not, but he has on a red vest that says Super Kmart. And I assure you, there's no Super Kmart anywhere close to Africa. None. But they would wear clothing that came from here, and they maybe or maybe didn't know what it said. So they would, for instance, one t-shirt I saw said, "My daddy works at Target." And there's no Target anywhere close to Africa. And another interesting one said, "I'm a bomb expert. If you see me running, you better run faster than me." So it was so funny to see that and then to explain to that guy what it meant. Africans say that Americans have a watch, but we never have time. And Africans don't have a watch, but they always have time. So I learned how to wait a lot in Africa, because even if they said the service would start at 11 o'clock, you knew that it would actually be 12 before it got going. Sometimes the people wouldn't leave their houses to start coming to church until they saw me pull up. And the way they would do that would be, they would be just in a small community, and it would just be wide open fields, and nobody had vehicles, so they would always hear the car, and they knew I was on my way, so then they would start walking. So that always made life interesting. And if you saw somebody on the street, even if you've seen them 3 times already that day, you still ask, "How are you? How's your family? How's your life?" And you wait for that person's response. You don't do the American thing where we just say, "Hello, how are you?" And then you're gone. And so you always wait for their response. When people came to my house, we couldn't get sometimes I was in the American mindset just to get, it's like, okay, get to the point, you know, what do you want? We couldn't do that. You had to go through it. How are you? How's your work going? How's your family? And everything else. And that's just one of the cultural things that you had to learn, or I had to learn as I went along. And the people that really knew me after a while, instead of them asking, how's my family? And my saying, my family's in America, they're fine. They would start asking me about my two dogs, Coconut and Boots. So, and Coconut and Boots, a lot of people wonder, they're still in Mozambique with other missionary families. One of the things that I was able to do was to travel to Zimbabwe on a missionary retreat. And that was a lot of fun, a once-in-a-lifetime experience to see God's creation and to be able to do what was called a walk with the lions. And yes, it is, it's a real lion. But talking about the friends and family that God gave me while I was in Mozambique, my last Sunday at my Mozambican church, they gave me a going away. Despedida is a Portuguese word, and it's just a time for them to say, you know, thank you for being here and we'll miss you. So they had fixed African dress for me, and then we had a meal afterwards. And they didn't have rat on a stick for me, thankfully. But another great blessing for me while I was there was the missionary community that we had in the Nampula area, northern Mozambique. And in this picture, it's missionaries from New Tribes Fellowship, from Wycliffe, from Church of Christ. And they're Kenyans, Germans, Brazilians, a few Americans, and Swedish people. So it was so interesting to see how God brought together just a diversity of cultures. And every Sunday afternoon, we would get together for a time of worship in English. And that was so nice because we could put aside any differences we might have regarding theology, because we could just get together to worship God, because we knew we were all there for that one purpose, to lead people to Jesus Christ. So that was a great blessing to me. And these are just some of the different pictures of Mozambique. In the left-hand corner was when Kim was able to come visit. And then just some other pictures. In the left-hand picture here, this family, they had worked with Americans enough. They knew that we like it better when you smile for pictures. So they smiled for the picture. For a lot of Mozambicans, they had never seen themselves before. So they would look in the rearview mirror or side view mirror on the car, and they were so amazed because they could see themselves. Or when I had the camera and I could flip the viewfinder over so they could see themselves, they were so amazed. And for us, that's just strange to think about. And there were some people that had never been in a car before, some of the ladies there. So I took them in the car for the first time. There was one time that the ladies at the village, well, the people at the village wanted to take me out to a lake area so I could take some pictures. They said, it's real pretty. We'll take you out there because we know you like to take pictures. So we started loading up the car, and there was a lady that got behind the driver's seat. She got behind the steering wheel, and it took the longest time to convince her to say, look, you can't sit there. I have to sit there. She was so afraid we were going to get her out of the car, and she wouldn't be able to go. So, in the upper right-hand corner, this man, he was walking through the village where we were teaching, and he had a big sack, and I just asked about what he had in the sack, and he had dried fish. He had just come up from the river, and he had fish that he had dried out and he was going to sell them. And thankfully, I didn't have to eat the dried fish either. And again, thank you for your continuing giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, because without it, I couldn't do it. But you need to remember, too, that God hasn't called every one of us to go out and live internationally, to go out and do this. I know Mom is quite glad she didn't have to deal with a lot of the food that I dealt with and a lot of other things. But what you can still pray for and support missionaries. One of the greatest things I know prayer did for me one time was I'd left early on a Sunday morning, and I really had a bad attitude that day. We got out to the location. We were sitting outside. It was hot. It was dusty. And I didn't want to be there. And I was thinking, why am I even out here? These people are talking a language I don't understand. Nobody's offering to translate. How long do I have to stay out here? And then all of a sudden, my whole attitude changed. And then I realized, I was like, wow, God. I said, you know, it's such a blessing to be able to be out here. It's such a privilege. It's so neat to see that these people are, they're just glad I came. And what a blessing that is. And I've always wondered who prayed for me that day. Because with the time difference for America, it would have been the middle of the night. So I'm like, okay, who did God wake up to pray for me at that time to change my whole attitude? Because I know it wasn't anything that I did, but it was all God did through the power of somebody praying. So it's, if you say you all you do is pray for missionaries, that means a lot. But I encourage you to find that place that God has for you to serve, because God is faithful. He'll do it. If you just say, okay, God, you know, I'm willing to do this for you. Or, you know, I just want to find what place you have for me, whether it's in the school system or working at a hospital, or if it's taking care of grandchildren or visiting each week. Everybody has a place of service, and you just need to find that service to say, okay, God, you know, I'm happy doing this for you, and I want to do this for you. And that's the important thing. When, just to tell you a brief part of my testimony, when I graduated from high school, I didn't want to go to college at all. And then through a series of events, I graduated from, ended up going to Appalachian State, graduating with a business degree, and then later going to seminary and graduating with a master's degree. And it amazes me when I look back sometimes to think, you know, when I got out of high school, I didn't want to go to college at all, and now I have that degree, now I have a seminary degree, and now I've lived in Africa and Central America, and now I'm going back. But that just all goes back to how faithful God is, and how you can look back and see what He has done in my life, and I know what He has done in your life, and what He wants to do in your life. So again, I just encourage you to just to be willing to do whatever God calls you to do where you're living. So I think that's a good time now. I have more that I could say, but that's a good time now just for us to close in prayer. Lord God, I do thank you for being with us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are with each and every one of us. And Lord, you have a plan for us. And I just pray that we would be obedient to that, and we would just find what you have for us to do, and we would just enjoy that with you. And I just thank you for the people here, for their love and support, and just for your many blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.